Next speaker is Dr. Michelle Chino, who is an American Indian researcher with expertise in health disparities and the social determinants of chronic disease and injury, particularly among tribal populations. Dr. Chino founded and directed two University of Nevada at Las Vegas research centers and is the founding director of the Journal of Health Disparities Research and Practice. She brings a unique perspective and many years of experience to the UNLV School of Community Health Sciences, to her students, and to her community partners. Please join me in welcoming her.
Thank you. This project is, we're presenting preliminary results of a project to replicate the DPP. And what we really wanted to know is if the DPP lifestyle intervention would work among an urban Indian population, because it had not been tested among an urban Indian population. I have nothing to disclose. I think most people are aware now that diabetes is epidemic among American Indians, and while it was once a very rare disease, we now have some of the highest rates in the world. One of the most frightening statistics for American Indians is that our people are getting diagnosed younger and younger with diabetes. So there certainly have been a lot of efforts to address this problem in American Indian communities. We've made many advances, particularly among reservation-based populations. The Indian Health Service has supported the special diabetes programs for American Indians for quite some time, which have been very effective in reducing the incidence and the prevalence of diabetes in reservation-based populations. And NIH had the Diabetes Prevention Project, which showed that a lifestyle intervention would be work very, very well for American Indian populations as well as others. However, their native group came from reservations. But we learned a lot from both the SDPI and from the DPP. The reality is, though, is now more than 60% of American Indians live in urban areas and not on reservations. And we were pretty sure that there were some important differences that would need to be addressed if we're going to bring these programs and these findings to urban Indian populations. Urban Indians face some of the same challenges that reservation-based Indians face, as well as some additional challenges. Rates of diabetes are just as high as they are on the reservation, but there's a real lack of culturally tailored services that may be more available on reservations. Health services are very hard to access for most urban populations. There are only a few places, a few cities where Indian Health Service provides services to urban Indians. So services are not only limited, but also not tailored to the needs of Indian people. There are very few diabetes resources that urban Indians access or feel comfortable using or even know exist. And there's very, very little support due in part to the fact that urban Indians are often very isolated from others in the community. But we do know that urban Indians, American Indians responded very well to the lifestyle intervention from the DPP results. So we thought, let's see what we can do. Our pilot population was urban Indians in Las Vegas, Nevada. And like many urban areas, we have thousands of urban Indians who come from tribes across the country. We estimate in Las Vegas that there are about 30,000. As with most other cities, they are a very transient population. They come, they go, they stay, they go back and forth to the reservation. There's a lot of different stories behind their residency in urban areas. They tend to be very invisible, not only to services and resources, but to the rest of the population as well. And they are very, very disenfranchised. There are very few local services. It's rare if you find any tailored to the needs of Native people. And our population, in addition, faced a lot of the challenges that people who live in Las Vegas face. We eat all day long as much as we can. We drink a lot. And we play, but we play sitting down. So Las Vegas is even doubly challenged for the kinds of resources that we need to keep people healthy and active. So our major study goals were first to engage the population. We knew that the population would be hard to access, even though there's would be a lot of Indian people out there. So we had to figure out a way to engage the community first and figure out a strategy for recruitment and participation. Our goal was to enroll 25 urban Indians with pre-diabetes into a 16-week lifestyle program that replicated the DPP program with a focus on increased exercise, weight loss, lowering blood glucose, lowering blood pressure, and the ultimate goal to prevent the onset of diabetes. The core components, like the DPP, included education on diet, nutrition, exercise, physical activity, and behavior modification. The emphasis was on self-monitoring techniques, problem solving, creating an individualized program that would meet each person's need, and also building social support and self-esteem. And we wanted to have frequent contact with them, so we designed the program to have frequent contact with our participants. We pretty much measured everything at enrollment, at the end of the program participation, at 6 months, and at 12 months. We measured lifestyle, health indicators, their physical activity and nutrition. Each of our participants was given a membership to the UNLV Student Wellness and Recreation Center, and which they enjoyed very much. We also took a battery of clinical measures, and we asked our participants to keep food and activity journals. The most important part of the program, like the DPP, was our life coaches. And we knew that we had to put a lot of time and effort into thinking about who should the life coaches be and how can we come up with a model that's replicable in other urban Indian areas. So we knew our coaches had to be Native. We knew they had to be community members, and we wanted to model their input in kind of the way the CHRs on a reservation work, where they know the people, they go and work on an informal yet clinical way. The coaches were essential to the process because they did the teaching of the curriculum. They were there to mentor and support the participants, and we found that our Native graduate students were just the perfect choice. And we know in a lot of urban areas, I mean, Native graduate students are few and far between, but they're there, and they can do. They were so excited to be working on this project, and that's two of our life coaches. We saw a lot of significant results, fortunately, so we knew we were on the right track. Clinically, we saw significant changes. This is at 6 months post-intervention. We saw significant changes in weight and cholesterol and BMI, waist circumference, triglycerides. So all the important indicators we saw significant improvement in. Interestingly, though, once we started looking at the data, only waist circumference was significantly correlated with weight, which asked us to ask other questions like, what's going on? Why weren't these other indicators more strongly correlated with weight? And so we brought in the metabolic syndrome model to look at that. And overall, there was a reduction of 11% among our participants, but it was not significant. But it led us into this other bunny trail of trying to figure out how can we look at these other indicators? And maybe they have, you know, something worth looking at in terms of understanding our results and our participants a little bit better. We had some successes, and I'll come back to the metabolic syndrome in a minute. We had some really important successes. For the program, we learned that portable testing equipment was essential. We had to be able to go to wherever the population was. We had screenings in various locations. We tagged onto activities that were going on in the community. Our best partner was the Urban Indian Center, which, although not well frequented by the urban population, was still kind of seen as a central point for people to come to. The thing that was most disheartening for us was we screened anybody and everybody who came to these events. Most were not eligible because most already had diabetes and probably most of them didn't know it. We also did not limit the screening to adults. We did do screening for teens and younger children, and every single person we screened, almost a couple hundred were either pre-diabetic or diabetic. So we know that, you know, we have a big challenge ahead of us. Of course, we had to limit for this project who was included, but it also is a reminder that we need to think about how can now we expand these services to and these programs to younger American Indians. We had to have a lot of flexibility in the sessions. Las Vegas works is a 24/7 town, so even though we tried to set up different kinds of times for the sessions, we have people who do shift work, we have people who work weekends. It was a real challenge to create, build in that kind of flexibility. However, our participants were fabulous. They were excited. They lost weight. They increased their activity. They loved the gym memberships. We got them Nike 7, the American Indian Nike tennis shoes, and they loved them. We did blue. They were got really good at controlling their blood and the ones who did the best worked on a buddy system. They came with either a spouse, a relative, or a partner. So that became very important for us to know. Some of the things that were most effective for our participants were helping them find familiar foods in the food pyramid, to help them identify calories in fast foods, measuring food sizes and portions, breaking up the activity into smaller times so they're not feeling overwhelmed, ways to enjoy activity and relieve boredom with both food and activity, and we found out quickly that we had to teach them how to use the equipment in the gym. It was not enough to say, there's the gym, go have a good time. We had sessions where we told them, here's how you use this, and it was really, it was fun for them and very important to help them begin to use the equipment and feel comfortable using it. We had a lot of challenges, though. We learned just how disenfranchised and how alienated our urban Indians are. Recruitment was very difficult. Attrition was even worse. It's a very hard-to-reach population in most communities. Our participants had trouble with commitment at first and attendance, a lot due to their schedules. Transportation is always a problem. We have several food deserts in Nevada where healthy food is just not accessible within walking distance, and our people do a lot of shift work, and they were impatient for a lot of things. But we tried to our best to work with them. But interestingly, the most important lessons learned was the cultural connection. Despite everything else we did, it was critical to our participants to have the native lifestyle coaches, to know that there were native researchers who were running the project, and that we understood both their urban Indian issues and their reservation-based home issues and needs and cultural identity. And that established trust and rapport almost instantly. So we were able to jump right into the project and the curriculum, and it improved communication. They felt very comfortable with us. They felt very comfortable with the life coaches, and so we made some of the right decisions early on. We also learned that in the urban areas, we need to make some adjustments to the 16-week curriculum. We really need a shorter curriculum, shorter weeks, maybe with more intensive follow-up. And we also were told we have to start the activities sooner. The activities didn't start for several weeks. It started out with a focus on nutrition and self-management. But they said, no, we want to go to the gym right away. So a few things we learned that are important. One of the things that we learned from the research end was that we think we need to rethink the weight loss as the primary outcome. Certainly we wanted to replicate the DPP, but we saw so many changes in so many different ways and things that didn't quite fall into place the way we thought they would. So although weight loss is the top risk factor, there can be an awful lot of benefits for people in terms of preventing diabetes that may not necessarily be significantly linked to weight loss. We found and are still exploring the metabolic syndrome index as a way to get a different view of how people are responding both to the different activities and to the program itself, and how the findings are manifested in different things. Significant losses in blood pressure, in BMI, were all very important in spite of the weight loss. And so we think we want to rethink how we focus programs, evaluate programs, and not tie everything solely to weight loss. And this is our research team. I'm sorry, I talked a little too fast. And the most important thing, though, was having so many Native people on the research team and having the Native lifestyle coaches. And the community has now asked us to, you know, when are we going to do this again? So we're working on rethinking how we best strategize the next round. So, and yes, that's it. Thanks.